Just think of me as like an ugly version of Larry King, because that's what I feel like right now.
Welcome to Backpacker Radio. This is episode number 4 of our Trail Correspondent Series. I am your host, Zach Badger Davis. In our last episode, I told you that this episode would be the night before the trail for our remaining correspondents. I lied. Due to the way the timing worked, it actually makes more sense to do things a bit asynchronously. The next episode will be part 2 of our night before the trail for our remaining correspondents. But today is going to be our first on-trail update from a handful of our AT and PCT hikers. In today's episode, our correspondents are going to be interviewing their fellow thru-hikers, and it covers a lot of ground. Conversations are all over the place, including the thru-hiking camaraderie, where total strangers are both willing and happy to help their fellow thru-hiker, a hallmark hiker trash trait. They talk about the physical adjustments to the trail, including foot, joint, and muscle pain, what it's like to cross your first state line, or what it's like to gorge on food without any guilt. One of the interviews is done from a motel room while recovering from some big miles and enjoying some beer. One of our correspondents talks about her experience of sleeping in a public bathroom in an effort to ward off some truly punishing weather. And we are reminded to not focus solely on the miles and to, quote, stop and pet the moss. We learn what it's like to combat the punishing Southern California desert sun, how, despite being deep in the backcountry, it can be a struggle to find solitude. And last, but certainly not least, we learn what the 100-mile poop challenge is. Okay, to the interviews. Up first is Ibi Tat, who's interviewing his hiking partner and a fellow budding YouTube star named Liz Kidder. Liz just so happens to be a vlogger for the trek. And in fact, these two met through YouTube shortly before departing for the trail. It's borderline eerie how much these two have in common. Not only their reason for taking on the trail, but also just their personalities overall. I think you're really going to enjoy their conversation, along with all of our hikers' interviews. Here they are. Enjoy.
Hey, hey, what's up, you hooligans? It's your boy, Ibi Tat. Coming at you live from Bly Gap on the North Carolina-Georgia border. Yep, 7 days in, we finally made it to North Carolina back in my backyard. Asheville, I'm coming for you hippies, whether you like it or not. We are sitting in front of a roaring campfire. There's probably about 15 tents out here. It's a madhouse, but I am sitting beside the campfire with my hiking partner. Some of you may know who she is. Would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself, your name or your trail name?
Sure. My real name is Liz, and my trail name is now Handstand.
Just think of me as like an ugly version of Larry King, because that's what I feel like right now. So me and you met way before, not way before, but we met before we even started this hike. We met through YouTube, right?
Yes, we did.
We both have channels, and we're both idiots on the internet.
And speak for yourself.
I know, right? Well, everybody's well aware that I'm an idiot, but that's beside the point. But we decided to meet up on day number one at Amicalola. What was your first impressions of meeting me, first of all?
Well, you're pretty much exactly like your YouTube videos, so I wasn't too surprised, I guess.
I still don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll take it for what it's worth. But we decided to hike together for a reason. Would you like to explain that in a little more detail?
Sure. I think that we're both here, or what led us to this point where we're hiking the Appalachian Trail is because we are sober. And that's also kind of what connected us online, too. I think people connected the dots from both of our videos and connected us to each other because of our sobriety.
Yeah, we both look like hooligans to begin with. We're both sleeved out tattoos, both drop F-bombs, but yeah, the sober thing is not something you hear a lot about in the AT. Yeah, we've met a few sober people out here, but the AT has a reputation of being a party trail, but we kind of escape into the woods, if you want to call it that, to get away from all that shit. As being alcoholics, I know for me personally, I'm not speaking for Liz at this point, but I'm sure she can relate. When you're an alcoholic and you stop drinking, you have to fill that void with something, and that was always hiking for me. And I know it's backpacking is sort of a new thing for you. I mean, your first night on Springer Mountain was your first night in your tent, so do you want to tell me how that went?
It was good. First night went well. We've both been sober for about 4 years, and I totally agree about filling the void. For me, I've had different phases, though, and different hobbies. So in the last 4 years, I've gotten really into snowboarding and skydiving and circus arts. And most recently, it was hiking. So I had just been day hiking previous to this trip. But here we are.
Bitch. All right, so we're a weekend, 7 days. First of all, I want to thank you for not throwing me off a mountain. That's pretty impressive that you could hang with me for 7 days and not want to kill me. And I also want to thank you for sitting next to me on this log. I'm sure I smell like rotten tuna at this point, but we both stink. Yeah, we cancel each other out stench-wise, so it's all good. At least we share separate tents. But I think we both agree what the hardest day was so far. That was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes.
We went over, what was it?
Kelly Knob was the really difficult one at the end of the day, but it started off with Rocky Mountain and Tray Mountain.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain, Tray Mountain were first, and then I'd forgot about Kelly Knob was the last one. And that thing about made my heart explode inside my chest. But the one thing about you is you, for a newbie hiker, you're always right there behind me. What is your secret to success in climbing up these goddamn mountains?
I'm just slow and steady. I really just don't want to take my pack off and stop to get my water. So I just go slow and keep fucking trucking up the mountain.
All right. Let's do one more question. Okay, so I can vouch for her motoring up the mountain at a steady pace. She's always right there behind me. I'm the asshole that like runs up a mountain that I have to wait break for 5 minutes at the top. She's always right behind me, but she's slow and steady, which is awesome. I'm not constantly looking around for her. I know she's coming right behind me. But aside from that, let's talk about food. We've resupplied one time. Kind of a small resupply at Needle Gap, but our first resupply was in, what town was that?
Hiawassee,
Georgia. We stayed at top of Georgia Hostel that night and we resupplied. How did your first resupply go?
It was interesting. I am very OCD, so I did set up a couple of resupply boxes ahead of time to have mailed to myself along the way, and that took me forever to do because I'm really particular about every little thing, and I calorie count and everything else. Whereas when we just went into the grocery store in Hiawassee, which was in Ingalls?
It was in Ingalls, yep. That's my jam. We had those North Carolina.
It was a lot harder to just pick a bunch of random stuff on the fly and throw it together and make a 10-pound bag for a 5-day resupply. So I ended up with way too much food. I spent over $60 and then threw half of it in the hiker box.
I spent $31, and tonight, actually, when we were sitting out for dinner, I was looking through my food bag and I discovered a whole log of pepperoni. Would you like to explain where that came from?
Again, I bought way too much food, so...
And she pawned that off on me, so now my food bag went from 10 pounds to 12 pounds just like that. But I'm not complaining. My appetite's getting stronger, so I'll gladly carry the weight to eat the more calories. So thank you for spending $61 at Ingalls.
You're welcome.
I deeply appreciate it. All right, the last thing we haven't talked about is your trail name. How did you get your trail name?
Oh, handstand. So I do handstands everywhere. I grew up doing gymnastics and then more recently got into circus arts, including hand balancing. So that's one of the things I really wanted to practice along the trail because I want to keep my upper body strength up. So I like to do them on all of the mountain peaks.
So if you follow Liz on Instagram, which you should do, which is at Liz Kidder, correct?
Yep.
All those pictures you see of her handstands, that's my doing right there. I'm the cameraman. I am the mastermind behind all those photos. She just stands on her hands. Anybody can do that shit.
The timing is great. You're doing really good.
I'm just kidding. It's badass. She scares the shit out of me a lot of times, though. She plans on doing that on McAfee Knob, which I don't know how that's going to fucking go ever, but she's going to do it. She's awesome at it. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up here from Bly Gap. Pretty stoked that we hit the bar one state down, 13 to go. But thank you, Liz, for joining me. I know you got to put with me every day on the trail, so that's not an easy task. But thank you for joining me along this campfire tonight.
Thank you for entertaining me.
We'll holler at you mofos down the trail. Peace out.
Everybody, this is Sassafras reporting to you live from the trail, and I am here with my fellow hiker Amber to talk about how our first couple of weeks have gone and what our impressions of that have been.
Yep, this is Amber. No trail name as of yet, but I'm not too worried. So yeah, so first impressions of the trail. Everybody has been super nice.
Yes.
And super welcoming. The towns that we've been in Hiawassee at the top of Georgia Hostel, and they were amazing.
Yes.
They, like, came in, they're like, oh, hey, you want a hot drink? You want a cold beverage? What do you need?
You want a shower?
Here's a towel?
You want us to do your laundry?
Here's your scrubs? Like, just very welcoming. And then Franklin has been even more awesome.
We timed it perfectly to hit their hiker chowdown meal as well. And just everybody here is just so friendly and excited that we're through hikers and... It's been incredible. What do you think about, like, fellow hikers on the trail?
Fellow hikers on the trail have been pretty, like, just awesome. Like, you can just say, hey, start up a conversation. Nobody's been really kind of standoffish. And if they have, then they're not my friend. And I don't talk to them.
I think one of the cool things has been, like, seeing the age range in people. So, like, Shiver is so young. She's already done so much mileage on the trail. And I sat and watched her answer questions from folks who were, like, 50 years older than she was.
Mm-hmm.
And who just totally trusted her expertise. And I don't think there's a lot of other places in life that happens.
Yeah, that's the opposite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, like, kind of the minors. I mean, she's only 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I've actually... And I thought that there'd be more people probably, like... either really young, like, and they're right out of college, or, like, kind of knocking on retirement or in retirement. I didn't really know how many people were going to be in the kind of same age range.
Yeah.
Like, in their kind of mid-20s, mid-30s range. So I'm glad that there's people.
Yeah, it makes me happy, like, being in my mid-30s and having other folks. And we've found, like, a pretty tight group pretty quickly.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Within, like, first, 2 days for Paul and I, because we started hiking... And then you were probably, like, day 4 or something.
Yeah.
It's been, like, a good 5-6 days. So it's been almost, like, a year, technically.
Yeah, it's an eternity in Delta, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so, and given that eternity, what has been, like, your lowest moment on the trail so far?
By far, the lowest moment was the snowstorm.
Oh, God.
Going into
North Carolina.
Come on and raise up. And, But that was, I don't know, we stayed at top of Georgia Hostel the night before.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that there was going to be snow, but, you know, it has, like, a pretty flurry on it. It doesn't have, like, a, you know, wind chill of whatever and, you know, pellets of of snow, like, smashing into your
ice
face. And
smashing into your eyes.
Yes, exactly. There was just this nice flurry symbol and, you know, maybe a little cool and chilly, but... It didn't say, like, snow advisory warning. So that was kind of a wake-up call. I thought I was going to lose my middle finger from the cold. And then I booked it. So that was by far the worst. Because then I stayed in my tent from, like, 4:30 until, like, 8:30 the next morning.
Yeah. And then you
and
still don't want to get
I didn't
up
wanna
the next
pee.
Morning.
Like, I just didn't want to pee because it was so cold. And I was just trying to warm my soul. My soul.
My
mental,
cold.
My mental health and my physical health were shattered that day.
And yet you're still out here.
And I'm still here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still here with Miss Sass herself.
That's right. Bringing all the sass and not enough frass, probably. But so that's lowest of the low. I would say
lowest
for me that day was also the lowest of the low. That stretch between Bly Gap and Muskrat Creek Shelter was really brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Really brutal. But so what's been your highest moment so far on the trail?
I feel like looking at the vista, like a couple different places, you know, like Standing Indian, like kind of vista, there was Standing Indian Mountain Vista. Mm-hmm. And then there was one on the way to Betty Gap, mm-hmm. where it was just kind of like, you kind of thought it was like going to a campsite or something. It was just an open path, and then it was just a huge vista. And that was really pretty. So I think just kind of enjoying the weather that we have had, because we've honestly had pretty good weather.
Yeah.
And haven't had too many, well, haven't had a lot of injuries, just a little knee problems. But I feel like the weather's been nice. That's been a really high. And this, the friendliness have been, like, of other hikers have been really awesome, too.
Okay. Is there anything that's surprised you or that you didn't expect that's been kind of awesome or not awesome?
Let's see. I did not expect, like, I have read about the community and, like, you know, the trail community and how everybody's, you know, just super welcoming and nice, but I didn't really expect the level of niceness.
Yeah.
I mean, this church, like, First Baptist Church here, like, gives you free pancakes and bacon, like, loads of pancakes and bacon, and, like, doesn't even ask for a donation or doesn't, sends a card, like, a letter home to your family. Like, you can write a letter, and it sends a picture with the letter. Like, that's awesome. Like, I would never think
or,
that.
Or, like, Muskrat Creek. So we got in. All of us had hiked, like, a long day in mm-hmm. brutal conditions. Like, mm-hmm. wicked cold, lots of snow, lots of ice pellets, high winds. Like, everybody, I think, felt vaguely frostbitten. Everybody felt exhausted. Mm-hmm. There was no relief from the wind or the snow. And I got in there, I was, you know, in the later half of the group, and, like, three different guys offered to help me put up my hammock. None of them knew anything about hanging hammocks.
Yeah,
but, like, everybody's, like, offering to help because, you know, you're all out there together and you're trying to band together to get the thing done.
Yeah.
And that kind of community is way more than I expected.
Yeah, that's the same, because I kind of, like, zoomed ahead because I was so freaking cold, and I just zoomed ahead, and I was ahead of, like, so many of my fellow hikers, like, Sassafras.
Well, you were ahead of me. That's true.
Soothsayer, Honeybun, and Shiver, I was, like, kind of, like, right by them, and they're very fast hikers.
And
so when I got to the shelter, Soothsayer, like, saw me because I was kind of in the corner just kind of, like, trying to get my shit together. Like, I was like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, now I'm at the shelter, but, like, I'm so cold. And he's like, can I help you put up your tent? Like, let's put it up right here. And I was like, you're so nice. And he's like, put on your puffy. I'll take it from here. Blah, blah, blah. And it's just so nice. Like, he hardly knows me.
Oh, he knows you.
He knows me enough to be like, hey, you look cold. And you look, like, worn out. Like, let me help you. So, yeah, it's been super nice.
Yeah. I feel the same way. Like, I thought, you read all the stuff about how welcoming and supportive the community is, but until you get into mm-hmm. it, you don't really at all.
And I didn't think it was going to be right away.
Yeah, I thought,
like, that's another thing. Like, I thought, like, oh, yeah, you'll, like, learn to love it, and, like, you'll have more, you'll get to a certain point where you're, like, you know, earned that, like, level of kindness, so to speak. Like, I know that sounds weird, but, like, you know, just starting out, the first, like, 2 or 3 days of hiking, we had trail magic, like, that evening and then that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's, like, I wasn't expecting that at all. I wasn't expecting, like, fruit and, you know, Gatorade and coffee and, like, stuff like that in the morning. And everybody's just like, yeah, take seconds, take thirds. Like, this is for you guys. I'm happy to do it. And I mean, I'm like, I've only hiked, like, 30 miles. Like, I don't really deserve this. Like, yet. I could quit tomorrow and, like, that, you know.
Yeah, you kind of feel like you're not really enough of a
through hiker. I feel like I'm taking advantage. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't have that title earned to have this kind of kindness and compassion that all these people are giving me. Because I'm like, okay, this is only 100 miles out of, like, 2,000. So it's kind of a...
Although it feels, at least for me, it feels different being here in Franklin
mm-hmm.
to have, you know... For everybody to do all this stuff for through hikers. Like, I actually kind of feel like I get to call myself a through hiker now, because not like those first 30 miles where I was like, this might not be a good idea. I might not make it through this.
I might throw my shoes up at Neil's Gap.
That's right. I'm just done. But no, now I feel like, I feel like I could actually do this, and, you know, like, I'm a legit part of the community now.
Yeah, so. I feel it too.
Cool.
I like it. All right. I like it more than I thought I would.
So is there anything... based on your experiences thus far, that you would pass on to, like, wannabe future thru-hikers? Like, people who are thinking about doing it, maybe on the fence or whatever. Like, wisdom that you've gained in the last week.
Well, definitely, I've tried to plan every day. Like, this is how today's going to go. And I've kind of been like, okay, I guess it's not. And, you know, I'm very much of a planner, so I've had, like, some miles and some goals set. But, you know, your body's going to tell you what it wants to do. And the weather's going to tell you sure as heck what it wants to do. So, you know, being very flexible with your plans and options. And also, like, if you find a good group and you want to stay with them, then try to stay with them. But if you really want to hike your own hike and do your own thing and, you know, do 20, 30 mile days, and you're going to find other people that do the same. You know, so it's just kind of, you're going to kind of evolve, I think. I think I'm still kind of grasping, like, today was, like, such a nice day in the morning, and I was like, oh, no, why did I zero today?
And then I'm
like,
raining.
And now it's pouring down. I'm like, okay, it's cold and wet, and, like, I'm glad.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of being flexible with your plans and just knowing that it's going to be fine. Just don't die of hypothermia.
Yeah, good advice. Don't like, die.
Just don't die, and everything will be just great. Just make sure you bring warm weather if you're leaving in March.
Yeah.
Or
cold warm, weather gear?
Yes, you know what I'm talking
warm
about.
Warm clothes?
Warm clothes.
Yes.
And also bring the warm weather.
Yeah. Bring a
if
hat.
If you can. Yeah, I know. I just bought a hat today. I had a buff.
Which
I thought it was
help
gonna
guarantee that we never have cold weather again, now that you
now
actually
that I
have
own,
a hat.
Yeah, now that I own a hat.
Yeah.
We'll never have another snow day.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
I
appreciate your sacrifice for the betterment of all.
Thank you. Thank I try. You.
All right. Well, that is everything from us out here on the trail. Thank you so much for listening, and happy trails, everyone.
Happy trails to you. Hey everyone, this is Emily. We are currently sitting at Beach Gap, and I'm here with Monica to talk about our first impressions of the trail. Introduce yourself, Monica.
Hi, everyone.
What have you thought of the trail?
So far, I really love it. I am enjoying being dirty outside, honestly. Although, I feel like we just crossed over the border, so that was a pretty exciting milestone, but also just feel so far away from Katahdin.
Yeah. So what is, like first impressions, day one through three, what were you feeling?
First impressions, I feel like it was very realistic that it was hard. The first day, it actually started snowing on top of Springer, so you kind of get weather gives you a nice big slap in the face from that. It was really cold, and so I just felt like I just kept on hiking just to stay warm. And then the first 3 days, like, my knees were kind of a mess, and I've never really had knee issues or, like, issues while being active. And so that was kind of hard, especially on those downhills, trying to motivate myself to keep going, especially when you're in so much pain.
Yeah. I mean, I'm even from Georgia, and when I got out on, you know, the approach trail and it was like snowing and sticking, I was pleasantly surprised. I also probably didn't bring the best of gloves. probably needed something a little warmer. But yeah, the pain is, it's different because, like, I'm not having a lot of muscle pain. It's all joint pain.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever had, like, my knees hurt. And I'm, you know, I'm 22. I feel like I shouldn't be, like, hobbling down a mountain. But what's, like, top three highs?
So for me, I feel like the top three highs, first of all, crossing the border, just because I feel like that's such a big milestone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it not actually raining that much has been pretty good. I feel like there's been a threat of bad weather for a lot of it, and just, like, kind of waking up and there not being rain or not having to hike in the rain has been pretty exciting. And then, honestly, just, like, not having a time frame and just, like, the number of times that I've stopped to, like, pet moss or, like, take a picture of something has been really nice. And I feel like when I'm at home, I'm, you know, running to work and, like, trying to organize all these things. And so I feel like I never have time to just, like, stop and do something. And so, you know, I'm out here for 5 months, so I can literally just, like, go at whatever pace I want. And it's been really nice.
Stop and pet the moss. That's your new slogan.
I've been petting so much moss. I have pictures to show you later. So.
Oh, no. I mean, I've already ranted about how much I love ferns. So I've seen some baby ones start coming out, and I'm super pumped. Top three highs for me would probably be getting to meet, like, just genuinely nice people. I bumped into someone who just retired from the Army. He's been in the Army for 30 years as a doctor, and he was just one of the, like, genuinely nice people that you meet, and helped out another hiker who was having some really bad blister problems. And then, like, I met a person who was a missionary, and he was only a day hiker, but he welcomed me into his home, you know, if I needed to get off the trail at any point. So it's just, like, people like that really, really just put a smile on your face. Another high is I get to experience this kind of diverse weather. It was sprinkling and raining one of the days I was hiking about 3 days ago, and I just kind of stopped and, like, looked up, and, like, it was hitting my face, and for the first time I was like, I'm not, like, holed up in my house, like, waiting for the rain to stop. I was like, I'm in it. I'm embracing whatever is gonna come at me. And another high is I get to eat whatever I want.
Sometimes, though, I miss the fresh food.
I miss the fresh food, but sometimes, like, I just want to eat some mac and cheese. And, you know, when I have a desk job, I have to watch, you know, what I have to eat. What are your top three lows?
I feel like the joint and knee pain was pretty low for me. Right now, my feet are in a lot of pain. So sometimes it's just, like, you want to hike more because like, the rest of your body feels ready. Like, my muscles aren't in pain, and my mind is, like, ready to just keep going, but in some ways my body is, like, holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna sound cheesy, but I feel like I don't really have any other lows besides, like, kind of missing some parts of home, and, like, some parts of regular life.
No, it's good that you don't have that many lows.
I'm just embracing the whole experience.
Yeah, you gotta embrace the suck sometimes. I think my top three lows, I miss my cat. Shout out to Mary Bell, Miss Girl. I wanted to bring her on the trail, but I did not. You know, the joint pain is really what's getting me, because when I did a lot of backpacking and trail running before, I never really experienced it, but I also got to go home and go to sleep and elevate my legs and do what you need to do, but it's a little bit tougher out here, so that's kind of been humbling in terms of amount of miles I can do in a day. And, you know, just being from Georgia and hiking a lot of parts of North Carolina, I still haven't felt like I've gotten out of my home yet. So I feel like I'm just kind of, like, on a week-long backpacking trip, and I don't know, I don't feel like it's hit me yet. What are you looking forward to, though?
Honestly, I'm just looking forward to the rest of the trail in some ways. I'm really excited. I'm from Massachusetts, so I'm kind of excited to get to New England. I know it's, like, really far away, but it'll be really nice to catch up with people and have, you know, my friends come hike with me and kind of be able to, like, visit family for a little bit. I'm really excited because we're going into Franklin, North Carolina in 2 days. So that means shower, which I have not showered in a while.
And food.
And lots of food. And I am a very food motivated person. So
what are you picturing in your head that you're going to eat? Like, have you been, like, thinking of everything that you want to get a hold of?
I feel like just, like, a nice burger and, like, a hard cider.
Yeah.
I don't like beer, but I feel like I just want kind of, like, a beer-esque thing.
Yeah. I've been looking forward to wings. Like, I've been describing the perfect hot wing for the past, like, 2 days. So, all right. Well, this is Emily and Monica, and we are signing off in Beach Gap.
Hey guys, this is Fainting Goat coming at you from Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I'm here with Sheriff Woody.
Hey guys.
Who is hiking with me for the first couple weeks. He's got just a few days left here with me before he goes off to a new job in California. And it has been a pretty wild ride so far. We are currently at the Travel Lodge in town, laying in bed, drinking beers, after having an excellent 0 day. The last few days were definitely pretty interesting. We made it to the Smokies, definitely a highlight of the trail. and started out with a 24-mile day from Fontana Dam to Derek Knob Shelter in pretty much steady cold rain all day, with temperatures dropping in late afternoon. Pretty much perfect hypothermia conditions. We were very grateful for those smoky shelters, which have fireplaces, and we had about 14 other hikers to pack into the shelter with, just barely enough room for the two of us to squeeze in there and sit by the fireplace, warming ourselves up and trying with very little success to dry everything out. Next night, temperatures dropped below freezing, got a little dust and a snow, which continued through the day, and we were pushing hard to try and get to town. We were trying to reach Newfound Gap, which is where you hitch into Gatlinburg, which was our next resupply point, and also our chance to get a hot meal, a hot shower, a warm bed. If you sense a theme there, that's because there is one. We were really, really excited to warm up. And so we are just racing through the day, only 18 miles to Newfound Gap. You know, we hear there's a shuttle that might pick us up, and we are super excited. Little did we know, the road up to Newfound Gap from Gatlinburg will close down if there is a significant amount of ice or snow, which in this case there was. Guthook's app says that it is the most crowded road crossing you'll see on the AT. That was not true yesterday. There was two cars there, icicles on them, clearly been there for a little while from people who were out hiking, presumably. And absolutely nobody else, no tracks. We just barely had enough cell signal to call down to one of the guys who runs some shuttles, who confirmed that the road was closed down. Tried calling the park service, see what our options are, and they were hike another 15 miles down the mountain in the blasting snow and wind, or hole up and wait and see if the road opened up. And that, my friends, is how we ended up spending the night in the Newfound Gap bathroom, men's room specifically, with a total of 10 hikers. The bathrooms are heated to about 50 degrees, I'm assuming, to prevent the pipes from freezing.
Not that the hikers might need somewhere warm to stay in emergency, though.
No, that's not important. Bathrooms are about 50 degrees, which was actually a huge improvement over our other option of tenting it, given that it was 15 degrees overnight. And we had ourselves a nice little hiker party in the bathroom. I actually made it through the PCT and CDT without sleeping in a bathroom. It's something of a classic hiker move to do, but I guess I couldn't make it through the Triple Crown without having at least one night. Woody, I remember you said you've had some bathroom or privy sleeping experience before.
Yeah, I've had to sleep in the bathroom just down from Baden-Powell and then on the San Diego Trans-County Trail. Slept in another bathroom all by myself, head right next to the urinal because it was the only convenient place to be stretched out. Again, head next to the urinal last night. Slight smell of pee, but it was worth it.
It was a lot warmer than it would have been otherwise. And we are packed in like sardines in there. 8 hikers in the men's room, another 2 in the ladies' bathroom. And had ourselves a little party. Ended up holed up in that bathroom for about 18 hours total. And we figured that the next day we would either walk those extra 15 miles to town, which would hurt because they're not 18 miles. They are just straight up miles we thought we were going to hitch with no problem whatsoever. Or if we got lucky and the road opened up, we'd, you know, hitch a ride or get a shuttle down. We got lucky. We found some park rangers pretty early in the morning who confirmed they were really working on getting that road open, de-icing some frosty sections. And we managed to get to town a little bit before noon. And we have spent the time doing your usual hiker things. Laundry, resupply, lounging around, eating insane amounts of food, and generally having a pretty good time. We're going to get back on trail tomorrow, finish out the rest of the Smokies. Then Woody's heading off, and he's just section hiking with me for right now. And I'll be continuing on solo. So I think that's about it for tonight. I'll give you guys another update in a week or two.
See you.
Hey there, just a quick editor's note that the previous interviews that you heard were from our AT correspondents, and the remaining 3 are from our PCT correspondents. Up first is Miles, and here it is.
Welcome back to Backpacker Radio. This is Miles to Go reporting live, or at least right now, not live when you listen to this, from the Pacific Crest Trail at mile 109.5 at Warner Springs Resource Center. And it is a beautiful sunset evening here. And first, before I get to my guests this evening, I want to take a moment to brag about myself and just say that I completed the 100-mile poop challenge on the Pacific Crest Trail, which is making it the first 100 miles without pooping or digging a cat hole on the trail itself. So I made it 109.5 miles without doing that, and I'm proud to say that that happened. So it is possible if you plan on thru-hiking this trail in the future. Now to the good stuff, the introductions. I am joined here by Vice, Gorgeous, and Kayla, and I will let them introduce themselves. And if you guys could just say who you are and where you're from and whether or not this is your first thru hike. All right, so we'll start with Vice and then go to the others.
Good. I'm Vice. I'm from Frisco, Colorado, and this is my first thru hike attempt.
Awesome.
Hey, I'm Gorgeous.
Probably not what you were expecting.
I'm from Wisconsin.
And I'm Kayla, and I'm from Wisconsin, and this is my first thru hike.
All right, and just for the folks at home, Kayla and Gorgeous are a couple doing this together, trying to anyway, hopefully. All right, so we'll get right to it. First, what are your first impressions of the first 109 miles? We've been in the desert, we've been pushing ourselves mentally, physically, maybe spiritually. So what are your feelings right now? And just be raw. Kayla, what are you feeling?
It was not what I expected. The desert, you know, I was expecting 100% flat sand and pretty much cactus and nothing else, and it has been nothing like that. It's definitely surprised me around pretty much every corner. So, a surprise for sure.
And Gorgeous, your thoughts?
Definitely a lot more mentally exhausting than I thought. Like, you're walking all day long, and some evil ideas can come into your head, like, oh, like, why are you doing this? You know, this is pointless. You're doing the same thing over and over all day. So that can get to you. But then all of a sudden you almost step on a rattlesnake. You're like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I love being out here. And then you keep walking. So
well said. We'll get into more of that in a second here. And Vice, how about you?
I've honestly absolutely loved it. I love the desert, so I was actually really excited about this section. I didn't really know what to expect in terms of terrain, but it's absolutely beautiful. The people are incredible. I've met some of the most interesting, fun people that you just get to know pretty instantaneously only in the first week. Honestly, surprisingly, it's been, I don't want to call it easy, but it's been like a nice introduction to the trail. I was expecting to have to do some big climbs right out of the gate. And while we've had some really hard days, because there have been big climbs and big heat and all of that stuff, it's been a little more manageable than I thought, which has been good and bad, which I know we'll get into in a bit.
Yeah. So you mentioned some of the physical stuff, and Gorgeous Kill, you've mentioned some of the mental stuff. And I guess I think what people may be not realizing at home is that through hiking is almost more mental than physical. I don't know. Do you guys feel that that's the case sort of so far in the first 100 miles or so? Gorgeous?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
What's the biggest challenge for you mentally that you didn't expect out here, Kayla?
Well, it probably hit me like day six where I was like, I kind of miss home. Like I miss my bed. I miss taking a shower and having a kitchen, you know, to go into every day. So it was just like, mentally, you just need to prepare yourself for living in a tent. And I mean, not eating gourmet meals every night, living off of ramen.
But ramen's gourmet.
It can be. We have had some like dried veggies that have really helped. But I think like mentally it's great that I have Gorgeous to help me out here. I mean, if I was coming into this solo, it would be 100 times harder, I think, than it is now, because he's really like my support system, kind of.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. And you can't go wrong with a guy named Gorgeous as your support system. But Gorgeous, what is the best part about hiking with someone else?
She slowed me down. I would have went off the bat like 20 miles a day, And I know that's like not the right way to do it technically, I guess. I don't know, whatever. But she definitely kept me on a good pace, which so far has been great. Also, we can share a tent, which is pretty rad because it's like half the weight. So that's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can split the things like water filter, stove, tent, like three of those things. Divide it up. Pretty nice. So less weight.
Definitely. And as someone who's hiking with another person, I can say that that is absolutely one of the major perks. And Vice, you're battling some things physically here. What are you struggling with physically, and how are you sort of coping?
Yeah, I've had some very random, I wouldn't call them injuries, except for this last one. I had both knees, not at the same time, kind of swell up. One of them kind of fixed itself right away. The other one I'm battling with, and because I was limping a little bit, overcorrected, my foot's doing something crazy right now, so I'm having a hard time putting any weight on it. So like I said earlier, it was a little shocking that I was doing, like, not huge miles, but more miles than I thought pretty easily. And I think almost, even though I could do them, I don't know that I really should have, because I think it took a toll on my body that I didn't even notice that was happening. And I think a huge challenge mentally is having what you kind of know you can do not match up with what your body can do based on how much stress you're putting on it. It's like not aligned at all. And so my body's kind of going haywire right now. And so instead of charging through it like I normally would want to, and kind of how what my style usually is, I have to take a couple zeros and let myself heal. And it's super hard to do this early on. So it's, yeah, it's difficult.
And for you guys struggling maybe mentally a little bit, what are you doing to sort of combat that? Like, Kayla, you mentioned missing home and missing a bed and a kitchen and real food. What's sort of keeping you going at this point? Besides gorgeous.
Besides gorgeous. I've had a lot of support from back home also. When I have service, you know, and check my phone, I've had text messages from people back home, and they're all rooting me on. So that's great inspiration. Other than that, just looking forward to, we went 8 days without taking a zero or a Nero or anything like that. So looking forward to this zero day where I finally got to rest, and I had some pretty nasty blisters on my feet and stuff to go through. So just, it is kind of like the mental game. Okay, one more day, then we can take a break. So.
And gorgeous, are you feeling like you're recharged after taking a zero here in this beautiful tent village that we're sitting in?
Definitely. I've barely walked anything today, which is great.
Except to go get beer.
Except to get beer. Yeah, I got beer, burgers. So that was definitely a plus. Yeah, I feel good. Ready for tomorrow.
So you guys all feel like you're still in this game. That this is not... Do you feel like this is just a blip on the radar, so to speak, and that you're just going to keep going and make it through? Or are you just like, what, how are you changing your strategy, like physically or mentally? Vice, how about you physically?
Yeah, well, like I said, it was hard enough to kind of be honest with myself, because I've been hiking with a really awesome group / bubble. These two are in it. So just kind of like letting go of trying to keep with that, and knowing that there's like a lot of other awesome people that I'm going to get to meet and hike with. So just trying to be patient with myself and be kind to my body and do what I need to do to heal. There's a lot of trail left, and I just do not want to push myself too much and like end my trail prematurely. So just kind of taking the time that I need to, and then leaving here, I'm going to cut back mileage until I feel like my body is kind of catching up with what I think I can do. And once I'm starting to feel good day after, not that I'm ever going to feel perfect, it's a through hike, but once I'm starting to feel good and these injuries are kind of subsiding a little bit, then ramp up from there. But yeah, just kind of letting go of kind of feeling like I need to be in this spot / bubble, and kind of just letting whatever happens happen.
Mm-hmm. And gorgeous and Kayla, mentally, are you guys changing the way you hike or the way you think about things, or are there any mental exercises that you're doing to keep yourselves positive, or journaling?
Yeah. So in the beginning, I was like, okay, I have 5 months. I'm going to hike every single day, get to the Canadian border. I did it. And that was like, holy crap. That's a lot of miles. That's a long time to be doing the same thing over and over. And now, after like recharging the last week, now I'm looking at it like, okay, I have 68 miles to Idlewild. Let's get that far. Mm-hmm. Let's get to that point. So changing the way I think about the trail itself and like the amount of days and miles and all that. So,
yeah. Kayla, anything to add?
Definitely. Like, at the beginning, I was thinking in, like, weeks, like, one more week. Then I was down to, like, okay, I can do, like, another mile. And now it's, like, steps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, we can do a few more steps here. Like, it's just gradually gone down to that point. Okay, like, well, it just, that's how I have to think about it now. It's just, like, every step is one more step closer.
Yeah.
You know, just little.
Yeah, it sounds cliche for the people at home, but it literally is. I mean, I know that we're through hiking and it involves taking steps, but it really is step by step. If you don't focus every single step that you're taking, it could be the end of your through hike, mentally or physically. So, well, that does it for time here at Warner Springs. Thank you, you three, for joining me on this inaugural episode with Miles to Go's Trail Correspondents here on the PCT 2018. And next time you hear from me, I'll be somewhere up the trail, hopefully, as long as we're mentally and physically in shape and still together. So with that, signing off here from Warner Springs with 2,543.1 miles to go.
Hey guys, this is Kate, and I am currently in Julian at the 77.3 mile marker, and we hitched from Scissors Crossing, about 12 to 13 miles into town, and have been here for about a day and a half now. And I'm here with
Olympia.
And I've been hiking together. We've been hiking together since day one. We stayed at Scout and Frodo's.
Met in the treehouse.
Yes, yeah. So it's been good. So questions for you. So far, this is day six, and we're taking a zero. Is the trail what you expected in any kind of sense?
Yeah. I think the trail has surprised me, I think, around every turn. I can't say it's what I expected at all, which is shocking because I did a ton of research. So it has been a lot different than I expected.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it's been better than you expected or just different?
Yeah, it's definitely exceeded expectations. And then in other departments, I've been disappointed, but that's more personal. Mm-hmm. Body injuries.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were mentioning before, if we talk about like some of the lows, you said that like you're more sore than you expected.
Yeah, I've always felt super strong, but after day four in the desert, I can barely go downhill, and that's never happened to me before.
Right.
So my knee gave out a little bit.
Yeah.
So that was a low for me so far.
And I feel like looking around, a lot of people are hurting.
Yeah. Like, I'm definitely not alone.
It's a common theme. Which is why we're kind of taking a break, why we came into Julian.
Yeah.
But besides that, like, is there anything, like, in terms of the highs that you just didn't, like, the views or the people?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been amazing. This is my first time in the desert, and when you hear desert, you picture, like, dry and flat and, like, miserable, I guess, but it's just been the complete opposite. It's been hilly and green.
Yeah.
And forgiving. So.
Right. And we've had good weather. I feel like it's been kind of windy, which at night isn't fun, but during the day, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in terms of, like, the thru-hiking community, is that what you expected? Or are people, I mean, friendlier or just kind of, like, yeah, what's your take on that?
I think the through hiking community has been so, so amazing.
Yeah.
It's everything you want to see in the world in like a group of like 50 people right now. You know, men, women, old, young, everything. Just
right.
Today I was walking down the street and I looked kind of sad, and a woman from North Carolina came up to me, a hiker, and was like, "Do you want a hug? Like, you look sad." And she gave me a hug, and I just, like, left smiling.
That's cute.
Yeah, so everyone's been so amazing.
Right.
And even, like, we stayed at Carmen's last night, mm-hmm. and everyone's just, there are a lot of people, it seems like, that are so selfless.
Yeah.
And very generous to thru-hikers because they know, like, we're on a long, hard journey.
Right.
And we're tired.
Yeah.
And hungry.
And sad sometimes.
Yeah. It's normal. I feel like we're going through some, like, normal feelings right now.
Yeah.
And, I guess, is there anything that also that you might have researched or stuff that you're experiencing now that you just didn't come across before?
I actually, upon reflecting, think I had, like, selective hearing mm-hmm. when I did all my research. Like, I only researched the things that right. I wanted to see.
Right.
And I kind of, like, just bypassed everything that yeah. I didn't.
Right.
So.
That can happen.
Yeah. Not proud of it, but...
No, I feel like we all did that in some sense. And then just, I guess to sum it up, if... This might be a hard one.
Okay.
But if there is one word, one or two words to just describe, like, your first impressions of the trail here at mile 77.3 on day 6, what would it be?
That one's actually pretty easy for me. I think it would have to be... afternoon delight.
Yeah, what? Of course.
Pretty much sums up this trip for me so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for answering all my questions.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is Kate and Opa signing out.
We're out.
Okay, cool. Well, so why don't you just start, like, what you just told me, basically, like, where you're, kind of, why you're out here hiking and where you're from. Well, I guess I should start by saying that this is Sarah, and we're on the PCT, and I believe we're in the Cleveland National Forest right now. Am I right?
I'd have to check. I think we're somewhere on the, around the border of the Cleveland National Forest in the Anza Borrego.
Yeah. It's very desert-like for sure. There's sand and chaparral and rocks, and it's very tan and gray. And I'm sitting here with Robert, who I met a couple of days ago, and we're just going to hang out and talk for a second. So, like I said, will you just say a little bit about where you're from, why you're out here, what makes you want to hike?
Okay. I'm sort of from all over. I've been living abroad for the last 10 years or so. I was in Germany for a year until the end of January, and before that I was in New Zealand for about 8 years, and in Portugal and England, and before that I was doing my PhD in Boston, so I was living in Boston for many years before that. So yeah, sort of from all over. And why I'm doing the PCT, well, my job in Germany was coming to an end, and I was trying to figure out what to do with myself, and I was initially thinking, well, I'm in Europe, so I'll just spend the summer cycling around Europe. You know, start in southern Italy and just bike my way to the North Cape in Norway over 6 months or so. But when I talked to the immigration people about the visa situation, they basically told me that wasn't going to happen and that I had to leave for at least a minimum of 3 months. So I thought, well, if I have to go home, then I might as well just do something at home. And so I'd kind of thought about biking across the U.S. That's something else I've always wanted to do, sort of a coast-to-coast ride. And I thought about thru-hiking the AT, which is also something I'd thought about doing for a long time. But a couple of years ago, I spent maybe 2.5 or 3 weeks in Yosemite Valley, just hiking all the different trails of Half Dome and all the other trails that were around there. And I thought it was really awesome, and I wanted to go back and do some more of that. And so I thought, oh, PCTs, yeah, that'll be the place.
Yeah. Okay, so then you're obviously very active because of all the cycling, but has long distance hiking or backpacking been something that you've been doing for a while?
Yeah, I've never done a thru hike before, but I've done quite a bit of backpacking. You know, I go out, especially in New Zealand, I would go out for, you know, 1 or 2 weeks at a time.
Okay.
So I'm used to carrying pretty heavy loads over the course of a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of starting in one place and finishing in another place.
Okay.
And in New Zealand, I've done some trips where I've connected together a lot of different trails.
Okay.
In pretty remote areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is this your first, like, long trail?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely my first sort of 5.5,
first
6 months. First through hike.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. So then, what, so far, I'm on day 10, I think. I don't know, what day is this for you?
I started on my birthday, April 2nd.
Oh, all right. So yeah. you started 2 days after me.
Okay, so today is the 10th, right? So yeah. This is my, well, yeah, 8th day, I guess.
8th day in the wild.
I had one day off. I took yesterday off.
Yeah.
So.
But still, you've been out here.
I guess this is actually my 8th day of actual hiking today.
Yeah, okay, cool. So then, been out for over a week in the thru hiking life. How has it been? Similar to, different from your expectations? Like, what are some examples of things that you anticipated or maybe have really surprised you?
There hasn't really been too much that's surprised me, I guess, because I kind of read up on it. Well, I only decided to do this just after Christmas.
Really?
So I only had a couple of months to prepare.
But you've known about, like, the concept of thru hiking for a long time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah. Okay.
And I've done quite a lot of backpacking as well.
Yeah. So it didn't take that much extra preparation for you.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing for me to try to figure out was the resupply strategies and things like that. So, and of course, I've been to Southern California before as well. And in fact, my grandfather used to live not too far away from here, as the crow flies.
Yeah.
So I have been to this area before. So I was expecting to pass through small towns and
sure.
not have a whole lot of water available and things like that.
Yeah.
So that has pretty much lived up to expectation.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any major surprises with that.
And you, both of us, I will say, just because this is not a visual medium, we're both covered from head to toe because, like you're saying about the desert, there takes a little bit of preparation to realize that you don't actually want to be wearing less clothing.
Yeah.
You want to be wearing more because the sun is so aggressive all day.
Yeah, I'm fully covered. I've got, SPF sleeves on my arms and SPF leggings on my legs. And I'm even carrying a solar umbrella as well.
Yeah. Okay, so do you have a rig that are you your hands free with that?
No, that's something I need to work on. I mean, the umbrella is really key. It's so beneficial to have. If you don't have an umbrella, I suggest getting
one. No, I do. I actually do. Yeah, but that's a really good tip for, other people. But I also have my trekking poles,
So.
So, I'll pop it out if there's no shade and I've been going forever and I'm like so hot, then I'll stop and I'll pop my umbrella out and just kind of remote shade for a second.
Right.
But I haven't been hiking with it at all. And I'm sure it would be a game changer.
It kind of depends on the terrain and the time of day. So this morning I started out using my trekking poles and had the umbrella stowed, because there was a lot of climbing this morning, and I got a pretty early start. I started about 6:30 this morning.
Okay, yeah.
And so the sun was just starting to come up over the hills, and so it was still fairly cool. And I really just got the umbrella out about an hour ago.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's 12:23, and that's when it starts to get really hot.
Yeah.
Just about.
Yeah, after
noon, 11:30-ish.
11:30 or so, it starts to bake. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you kind of knew what to expect. What about, like, the social situation? Because there, for me, I knew there were going to be a lot of people, but I didn't realize how, like, much of an effort I would have to put in to find solitude, if that makes sense. Like,
yes.
I feel like it's really easy to kind of fall into a group and be like, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like,
yeah.
That sounds like a good plan. I'm going to go to that water source, too. I'm going to go to that campsite, too.
Right.
And, it's been really helpful to kind of wake up and figure out my own goals for myself or what I want to accomplish for that day. But it has been a surprise to me how little solitude just sort of comes naturally.
Yeah, I find that as well. And in fact, I think most nights I've stayed at places where there are fairly big groups of people.
Yeah, same here.
At, Lake Marina, that first night,
it
was a nice campsite, but
yeah.
A lot of tents packed in next to each other. And, of course, at Warner Springs, where we both were just the other day, tons of tents packed in underneath one tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One very large, beautiful tree. But
yeah, that was pretty funny. I had like a whole, what I think of as a front porch hangout. There was a circle of chairs around my tent front door, and everyone would kind of just filter in and out, you know. Yeah. Someone would sit down, have an orange, walk away. Like,
yeah.
It was just funny. But yeah, there's only been one night so far that I have been like in a site by myself, and even then there was a whole group of like Boy Scouts and some other kids group just, you know, not even a tenth of a mile away from me.
Right.
So I knew there were people nearby. They just weren't people that I knew.
Yes. Yeah. And so the other nights that I've been out where it's not a major campsite, like Warner Springs or Lake Morena, there are still a reasonable number of people around. So I stayed up at the Third Gate Water Cache as well, which is mile 91.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't as many people crammed right around you immediately, but there were an awful lot of little nooks and crannies, little tent sites in that area. And so there was another tent that was within talking distance of me. So, you know, I was talking to that guy in the evening, and there were other people whose tents were set up in the area as well.
Yeah.
And a couple of nights before that, I was at the Sunrise Trailhead. And again, there it was a sort of a largish area, but in terms of places where it's kind of good to put a tent, it was sheltered from the wind. That was that really windy night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There weren't that many spaces. So again, somebody ended up putting their tent quite close to mine.
Yeah. So you kind of just make do. And like, if you don't know a lot about the trail coming into it, it's hard to anticipate, but it makes a lot of sense because we all do have kind of the same strategic places that we need to be, you know. You want to get yourself close to the water. If there's a town, you might be resupplying, or there might be someone handing out free beers that you're not going to say no to. And so everyone kind of just ends up like in the same places around the same time. And yeah.
I expect that to thin out. I expect people to be more widely distributed as water becomes more readily available.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Probably through San Jacinto, I think water should be a little bit more plentiful there. I think there's some snow up there, so there will be more snow runoff. So, you know, people will be able to distribute themselves along the trail a bit
better. Yeah. Are you planning to climb San Jacinto?
I am.
All right, cool. I want to.
I don't know what the current snow situation is, but from San Diego, I shipped my ice axe and my crampons to Idlewild, so I'll pick that stuff up in Idlewild and make sure I'm fully equipped to hit the summit and then continue on. And then from, I think, Big Bear Lake, I think it's called, I'll send my ice axe and crampons again up to the Sierra.
Okay, yeah. Kennedy Meadows.
Yeah, either Kennedy Meadows or I might send it a little bit sooner. Maybe a little bit earlier to Lake Isabella or somewhere.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit cheaper to send it there.
So. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's something that I haven't taken into consideration yet.
You might have to carry it for an extra 2 days. But
Yeah,
it's quite expensive.
There are a lot of different things to balance out here, like the weight that you're carrying, like when you need something, if you need it to be from home or if you can buy it out here.
Right.
Yeah.
How much water you're carrying.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Food. So many things. It's one big like logistical nightmare, but but it's the one that we signed up for, so it's awesome.
Yeah. I've actually been carrying a lot less water than I anticipated I might need to.
I actually have found the same thing. I've found that I'm like pretty comfortable carrying a little less than, I don't know, then maybe I would need in an emergency, but I always have enough, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I move pretty fast. I think I do about 3 miles an hour, even on steep climbs.
Okay.
And so if I start early in the morning, you know, I have my cup of tea in the morning, and generally if I get an early start, I can do 6 to 8 miles before I really need to even drink anything.
Yeah.
A couple of hours. You know? And so even on days where I've done 20 miles, I haven't really needed more than 3.5 liters.
Okay. And then, so you have been doing 20 miles some days?
20 miles the first day.
Okay, yeah.
Which...
Because you got to Lake Marina.
Yeah. I kind of slack-packed that.
Okay.
Personally, I think that's a good strategy. So,
yeah.
So I started last Monday on the 2nd. On Sunday, I got a ride out from San Diego to Lake Marina. And I camped at Lake Marina on Sunday night.
Okay.
And then I left my tent and all my gear.
Ah.
And I caught the bus.
Very, very smart.
I caught the bus from Lake Marina to Campo early on Monday morning and started at, I was on the trail by 7:30 and carrying just a day pack.
You're just carrying water and food, essentially?
Exactly. So.
Ooh, so that sounds nice.
So I was back at Lake Marina by 2 o'clock in the afternoon and had only taken... I took 3.75 liters with me, and I only drank about 2.5 of that.
So. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you've got, like, the strategy down.
Yeah. I was surprised that more people weren't doing that, because to me that was kind of an obvious strategy. Lake Marina is actually on the way from San Diego to Campo.
Yeah. I was. It was kind of weird to me, having driven from San Diego to the starting, you know, the southern terminus, and then finding myself hiking back through the parts that I had. I'm like, wait a second, am I in Campo again? Am I still in Campo? Yeah. I thought I walked away from Campo. Yeah. Nope, this is all Campo. Got it.
Yeah. So you passed right by the Lake Marina campground.
Yeah.
So
why not?
It kind of makes sense to just drop your gear there. I mean, unless you don't think you can do 20 miles in a day.
Yeah.
Right? Which some people can.
Which a lot of people, it's kind of like that is the goal in mind, because that's where the next water is, but they don't want to necessarily expect that of themselves the first day.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I had that kind of in mind. I was like, maybe I could go 20, and then I did like 15 and a half by 2:30, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to go to sleep soon.
Well, you know, it gets hot, and there is a very big climb.
Yeah.
Out of Hauser Creek, you start at about mile 15. So if you get to that mile 15 at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the heat is setting in.
Mm-hmm.
That climb is not appealing. And,
yeah.
And could be, you know, it could be risky. If you're not in condition to do it, and depending on the heat, and depending on the water availability. You know, I think for most people, it's probably a very wise decision to camp out at mile 15 and take 2 days.
Especially with that being the first day.
Yeah.
So then I just have one more question. Cause a lot of my friends and family, their first question when I talk to them is, like, how am I feeling? Everyone expects that my body is going to be torn apart by now. And I've been really surprised to find that, like, I feel fine. Like I've been taking pretty good care of my feet. I do have some pretty gnarly looking blisters, but they don't really hurt.
Okay.
I haven't been really sore or like that tired. I mean, I've been tired, but I haven't been feeling like beaten down by the trail or anything, you know? So I'm curious, you've been doing big miles, but you're also, you know, obviously pretty fit in your regular life. So like, how have you been feeling?
I feel great.
Yeah. Awesome.
So I did take yesterday off, but that was, you know, 7 days of hiking 110 miles.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a reasonable thing to do. You do need time to rest and recover. Even when you're working out in your everyday life, you know, you do need off days.
Sure.
So before that, you know, I did 20 miles the first day. The second day I did maybe 13 or something. But then the last 3 days before we met in Warner Springs, I had done 18 miles into Warner Springs. The day before that I'd done 19, and the day before that I'd done 18. So I did have three fairly big days in a row before Warner Springs. But yeah, I was feeling okay. Coming into Warner Springs, I was having a little bit of pain in my ankle, and that was another good reason to take a day off. And it's feeling better today. So yeah, I feel good. I don't even have any blisters, so.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome. Yeah, there's not much wood to knock on around here. There's a little bit in places.
There's a dead branch behind
you
over there.
That's all we pretty much got is dead branches.
The shoes I wear, I wear these Salomon XA Pros.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually been trail running in these model shoes for at least 12 years, I'd say. So I'm really used to the fit of these shoes.
Uh-huh.
And I do know that, I mean, in talking to people along the trail, it seems like there are a lot of people who have adopted footwear that is new to them.
Yeah.
That they've never used before. So either, you know, maybe an entirely new brand of shoe, new brand, new model, completely untested.
Yeah.
Which to me seems a little bit crazy. And I mean, in addition to all my cycling and stuff, I do a lot of trail running and stuff. So I'll go out and run, you know, 10 or 15 miles without any trouble. So these kind of distances are not really a problem for me.
Sure.
Carrying the weight is a little bit of an addition.
Yeah.
But I think it is important if you're going to do this kind of thing to know your foot gear.
Yeah, I mean, you make a really good point because it's really easy in preparing for something like this. Like, there are so many resources and so many people that talk about it and talk about certain, like, gear. And it's really easy to fall into the trap of everybody that hikes the PCT has this pack or these shoes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And like, I tried those. I'm wearing these Ultra Lone Peaks, you know, that everyone has. Like, it's one of those things, like, almost everyone, almost everyone has them. And it's one of those things where, like, I got them, because everyone raved about them, but I tried them out for, you know, months and months beforehand because you know that once you get out here, like, this is not the time to be, like you said, trying completely new things, especially something like a zero drop shoe, which most people aren't used to.
Right.
And so that's an interesting point. And you'll see a lot of people like swapping out a lot of stuff early on.
Yeah. Footwear is really key. I mean, more so than a lot of your other equipment because blisters on your feet can actually be really debilitating.
You
can get blisters that are so severe that it's too painful to walk.
Yeah.
And that's actually happened to me when I was hiking I was on the Stewart Island circuit trail in New Zealand, which is about a 12-day hike or something. And I was using trail running shoes, but there I was using proper leather hiking boots. And there were hiking boots that I'd had for years and used many, many, many miles. But for some reason, I developed really severe blisters on both of my heels at the same time. And they were really, really deep. And they were so painful that I could barely even put my shoes on, put my boots on. I really couldn't walk. And so fortunately, there was another guy that I just happened to meet on the trail who had some, special blister bandages kind of things that you put them over the blister and then you just leave them there for days. And they stay on for like 5 days or something.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And those were really a lifesaver. Mm-hmm. So I carry those in my first.
Do you know what?
Now.
Is that moleskin or what is it?
No, it's a...
That you're using?
I think Band-Aid brand makes those
kind of gel blisters, the blister Band-Aids?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they are branded as, but they're a sort of a special blister bandage.
Okay, yeah, cool. I think I've seen those before, but I haven't used them. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, the brand I've used before is called Compeed, but I don't know if Compeed is sold in the U.S. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. Interesting. Well, cool. Well, I mean, that pretty much covers it for me. I'm going to finish eating my grapefruit that I started eating earlier and sit under this rock for a little while longer. So, check back in.
There's pizza up the trail.
So. Oh, yeah. And we heard that there's pizza up the trail. So, that's always, like, something to look forward to is very good. Okay. So, signing off. Bye.
And that is it for episode number 4 of our Trail Correspondent Series. As promised, in our next episode, we will hear from the remaining correspondents the night before they leave for the trail. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so through our Patreon page. That is patreon.com/backpackerradio. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, and we really appreciate your reviews on iTunes. You can reach us on Instagram at Backpacker Radio, on Twitter at Backpacker Pod, and on Facebook somewhere. Just search Backpacker Radio. And to get in touch with us directly, you can email us at podcast@thetrek.co. Until next time, happy hiking.